Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
All right, let's go to 1 Peter 1. We're talking about royalty. And what we're talking about is being born of divine seed. And I really love this series because this, you know, the Word of God is very specific, but yet there are answers that can come to you from the Bible that will give you solutions to problems in many areas, not just one. You know, God's not limited. He's smart. He knows the beginning from the end, which means very simply, He has an answer for every situation that you're facing. How many have been doing your Bible reading with us? Did you read Psalm 37? Oh my goodness. You need to read Psalm 37 and just declare it over your life. You say, what do you mean by that? Just read it as if you wrote it and speak out the parts where it applies to you, the righteous. It talks about the wicked being cut off, and all these different things. It's just phenomenal. Go over it again. I did it last night and I did it this morning again, and it's just really blessed me. It's just one of those words that are for this season, I guess, in our lives. But we're talking about being born of divine seed. And you have in you, and you don't realize it at times, but you have in you more than just a set of morals. Christianity is not a set of rules. It's an impartation of life. It's a communication from God of His nature to you. That's what it is. It's so much more than just stop doing this and stop doing that. It is actually a transfer of God's ability to you to be able to overcome anything or face it as if God was facing it. Does that make sense? let's read this and then we'll get into it more because that stumped some of you, but we'll get there. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23 says this. Actually, I'm going to start in verse number 22. We may go back to this verse, but that's okay. It says in verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Let's read on a little bit here. Verse 24 says, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass, the grass withers and its flower falls away. How many know that from the time you're born, you're dying? It's just true. People are like, amen, brother. No, that's not good news. It's your flesh, though. And that's what Peter's saying here. All flesh is just like the grass outside. It's planted as a seed. It comes up, but at a point, it dies. I don't look like I did the other day. We're in here for setup, and Shane's daughter was running around Rhema. And my daughter, who's 11, Kylie, she's going to be turning 12 here, but she reaches down, and Rhema had this some sort of costume on, and reaches down, and Kylie rubs her arms, and she goes, oh, her skin is so soft. You ever felt baby skin before? You rub your arm. You're like, no, I don't want to do that. And Kylie even noticed it. She's only 11. What happens is flesh decays from the moment it's born. Now, the nice thing about being a Christian is you can be satisfied with long life as a Christian. You can live longer than the rest, amen, in your body. Now, the really nice thing about Christianity is you get to live forever in heaven with the Lord. But your body is dying, but your spirit is not. In all actuality, if you study this very thought out, if you look at it, you, your spirit, cannot die. Cannot die. Now, we have to get this, all right? Because there's been so many centuries taught that if you're saved, when you die, you go to heaven. That's true, but that's only half of it. Heaven was imparted into you when you're born again. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this. Remember, we just read in 1 Peter 1:23 that you are born of what? Incorruptible seed. That word incorruptible is also immortal. Do you know what immortal means, right? It means it cannot die. You are born of undying seed. That is your nature. That is your nature, right? And say it with me. Some of you are still looking at me like a deer in headlights. Say it with me. Say, I am born of undying, non-corruptible, immortal seed. You are right now if you're born again. Now, if you're not born again, you're not. But we can fix that. That's easy. All right? That's easy. All you got to do is have an open heart. But you have the ability of the resurrection of Christ in you right now. Romans chapter 8, verse number 11. Let's look at it. It says this, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead, what? Dwells in you, right? He who raised Christ from the dead will also give what? Your what? Your mortal body's life. The Spirit of Christ in you will give your mortal body life. But the Spirit of Christ, where does it dwell? Can death kill Jesus? And you're born of Him. Can death kill God? Did death try and kill God? What did God do? No thanks. He's coming back up. It said He raised Him up with His right hand of righteousness, right? Well, when Jesus was raised up, oh, glory to God, you were raised up. And people are naturally minded, so they think, what? No, you're on the inside of you. Remember we looked at all those scriptures about Paul and Peter talking about how they'd put off their tent of their body? If you're in a tent, are you the tent? No, you're just in the tent. You live forever. You're a spirit. You possess a soul and you live in a body. You're a spirit. That's the part of you that changed when you got saved. This is why when we begin to understand this, there's nothing of the flesh and of this world that can stop us or overcome us. Because we realize that we are more than conquerors through Him who strengthens us. Where is that strength? It lives in you right now in the form of immortal seed. Right now. It's already there. All we have to do is tap in. Which is not as hard as you think. And we'll get there eventually. Because you'll realize, wow, what we have in Christ, we shouldn't have a down day ever. The joy of the Lord is your... Do you know one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy? You say, well, then why do I struggle with those areas? Because we're not tapping in like we could and or should. Amen. You can do it. It's just we need to have our understanding corrected in this area. That's where you get a lot of, man, I can't wait till I get to heaven. Heaven lives in you now. Come on, think about it with me. Paul had the greatest understanding and revelation of Christ in you. And he's in the middle of prison after getting his rear end kicked. I mean, literally. He got beat with rods. He got whipped. They stoned him to death once. And then he got raised from the dead and went back to the place where he got stoned and preached again. That's resilience, I'll tell you. I would have taken it as, I don't think they want to hear the message. Okay? But if you think about it, what is he saying while he's writing these letters from prison? Count it all joy, my brethren. Paul, you're in prison. Do you have schizophrenia? What's wrong with you? No, because we're not joying in circumstance. We're joying from the inside out, not from the outside in. Does that make sense? You're looking in the wrong spot a lot of times. You're looking for your circumstances to pan out. Don't wait for your circumstances to pan out. Just have joy now because it's in you. Amen. Does that make sense? All right, let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. This is where part of where we left off last week. I tried to get into love, but it was a little bit of a struggle, but we'll get there today. Let's go to Ephesians 3, verse number 17. You'll get this, right? Because you have the best teacher in the world. Did you know that? Yeah. Some of you are like, is he talking about himself? Or? No, I'm talking about the Holy Ghost, right? Yeah, that's right. I'm believing God just as much as you, trust me. I need it too. All right, so Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 17 says this. It says, now let me say this first. This was the point that we had made. The Word of God works for those who believe it. Now, listen to me, because I need you to understand this. If you do not believe and act on it, which is a choice, faith is a choice, it won't work. So save yourself the trouble and get this settled in your mind. Don't get mad at God because He's not the one messing it up. Okay? Don't get mad at God. It's not God. Now, the devil wants you to get mad at God, or he wants you to develop new theology, a new doctrine. I don't know how many times I've had people come to me and say, like I've shared the scripture with them, and they'll say, well, I just didn't experience it that way. That just means there's something wrong with your experience, not with God. That's all that means. So what you're telling me is that on Judgment Day, you're going to stand before God and show Him His promise and then accuse Him of not doing it? It's a thought, right? Let's think about it now so we don't have to think about it then. Right? I'm not doing that. I'm just going to go, Lord, I missed it, and that's why I'm in this place. If I don't see, there's one of two things happening. You know, like the scripture says, when you've done all you can to stand, stand. But I've done all I can to stand. Right, stand. Yeah, but I don't like standing. Stand. Don't quit. Yeah, but it doesn't feel good. Stand. Just keep standing. God will do His part. So one of two things are happening. Either we're missing it or we just need to be patient. Which is not like passive. It's enduring. It's strong. It keeps moving forward. Does that make sense? So when it comes to the Word of God, you have to grab it and don't let go. I heard a guy, he wrote a book. He had a daughter who had, I don't remember what it was, but it was very severe. It was something to the equivalent of, she was very handicapped and or mentally damaged by something that took place, or she was born that way. I can't remember which. But she started, this father started to pray and believe God for complete healing for her daughter, for his daughter. And it took years, but they got it all. And he wrote a book called White Knuckle Faith. You say, white knuckle faith. Yeah, have you ever seen a rodeo bull rider? That one hand has gone white knuckle. Because this is, you know, normal. But white knuckle? You're gripping and you're not letting go. That's how you have to be. This is just an essential point to faith. You have to grab onto this and not let go. That's what faith is. It doesn't matter who tries to come and take it. You know, if I had kids, some of the kids in here, I'd have them come try and take it and see if they could take it. But you need to be, I don't care if you're laying on the ground and you're hanging on to the promises of God and the devil's pulling you across the ground, you hang on and don't let go. And that is the definition of when you've done all you can to stand, stand. Well, yeah, but it's hard, but greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Do you see, I just keep taking you back to the Word? And that's where you'll find your strength. So you have to believe it. So Ephesians 3, verse number 17, that was all a prelude to this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I love that, through faith. Being rooted and grounded in love. Now I'm going to read this, that's part of it. I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. That's the New King James, but I want you to see this. This is actually the passage of Scripture that we have for the church. But it says this. This is the Passions. This is Ephesians 3, verse 17 through 20 in the Passion Translation. It says this. Then by constantly using your faith, remember that from last week? The life of Christ will be released deep inside you. Where will it be released? Deep inside you. After you what? Constantly use your faith. Believe that the Word is working. It will be released deep inside you, and the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life, providing you with a secure foundation that grows and grows. How many want secure foundation in your life? You better constantly use your faith. Yeah, well, it takes work. Yes, it does. Whoever told you that Christianity was for the weak was way off. Whoever told you, I've seen these atheist guys on TV, and they make statements like, well, Christianity is for people who need a crutch. We have science. Oh, really? I wonder how that argument's going to go over on Judgment Day. I wonder how much your science is going to be able to figure that out. Come on now. See, because Christianity has lost some of its influence in areas and some of its reality and tangibleness and evidence, people have this idea that they think, well, yeah, I'm just going to stand before God and just explain to Him if He's real. Oh, really? I find it amusing. And I guess because the longer you serve the Lord, the more you see kind of the delusion that's in the earth, and you recognize light and darkness a lot easier. But you think about, humanity has not changed that much. Think about when they crucified Jesus. Now, this is going on today. You say crucifixion of Jesus. No, but the same Spirit is motivating people. Here they are beating Jesus, and they're punching Him, and they're saying, prophesy to us, teacher. Who hit you? Now, think about that. Here is a man who did nothing but heal bodies, raise dead people, offer life to people, multiply fish and bread. I mean, the miracles, the Bible says that if they recorded all of them, it would fill the seas. They couldn't even record them all. And you think about that, and there's these men that are so full of the enemy, so rejecting of truth, that they're looking at God in man form, going, prophesy! Can you imagine if God didn't have the love that He did for you and me? Thank God He did. And the patience. Jesus could have looked at that man and said, here's a prophecy. Dissolve. And that man would have gone, whoom, and whips and sticks would have just fell to the ground. And everybody would have went, yep, He's God. Yep, yep, time to go. But see, if He did that, then you and I aren't saved. Look at the power that He has and the ability. Now listen to me. The resurrection of Christ lives in you. You're saying I can dissolve all my enemies. No, that's not what I'm saying. You have the ability now to love your enemies. Come on. We'll leave the judgment in God's hands. And we can. Paul did, you know, Paul had to feel frustrated. Doesn't mean he expressed it, but he felt it. He was human too. But you know what he would say? Because you know that's how that part of the revelation came out. He said, don't take vengeance, guys. Leave room for the vengeance of God. Just leave it alone. God will take care of it. Pray for them that they'll see. If they see and they reject, they'll be judged. But it won't be by us. But we have this ability in us. We need to use our faith to release it. And when we do that, everything begins to change around us. Well, our households are more peaceful. Our jobs are more peaceful. You can be in the midst of chaos and be at peace. I do it a lot. I mean, it's taken me years to get where I'm at, and I'm excited about where I'm going to be 10 years from now because I'll be even more at rest. But I'm telling you, you can live so out of your heart that circumstances don't even bother you. You don't worry about things. You cast all your care over on the Lord because He cares for you. You're fighting the good fight of faith. And what is faith? They that believe do enter into rest. You rest. You say, I'm not working anymore. I get a rest. I get to lay on the couch. Well, it's okay to take a nap every once in a while. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, while you're living your day-to-day life, you're not in turmoil inside. The insecurity goes. The peace of God rules your what? Heart and mind. You say, how do I get there? Believe. Don't quit. Hang on. Stick with the promises. They always work. They always work. They always work. Amen. Somebody say they always work. And then it says this, then as your spiritual strength increases, you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement, beyond academic knowledge. This extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. How many think that sounds good? Man, what's wrong with you? I am filled to overflowing with the goodness of God. Amen. The fullness of God. What do you think Jesus was on the earth? Filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. And here we have in the New Testament, after Jesus is gone from the earth, and you have through a man who didn't even walk with Jesus. He didn't know Jesus personally. He had a revelation of Jesus after He got saved, about who He was. And He's writing and expressing to the church today that you can live in this place of overflowing goodness as well. Every day, every second, every hour. And I'm not telling you won't have challenges. Come on, do you think the enemy is just going to let your full self run around and be happy all the time without trying to steal it? No. He'd be a sorry enemy if he did. You're not doing your job very well, devil. But we are built for adversity. When it comes to warring in the spirit and not against flesh and blood. Because Christ in you has already won every victory. Amen. It's already been done. Now that may be on some of you, but don't throw it away because it's there. All right, so you're filled with the overflowing with the fullness and goodness of God. Now look at this. This is such a great verse. It says this, never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and to accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. How many think that sounds good? I mean, come up with a request. He'll achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. Your most unbelievable dream, I love this, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Amen. That's right. Constantly. You know, if you ever feel tired, you just say, His miraculous power constantly energizes me. His miraculous power constantly energizes me. You hear me? Grab hold of those promises and hang on to them. They're for you. You're built for them. You're made for them. They were designed. They were purchased at a high cost. They were purchased with the blood and body of Jesus Christ. Amen? All right, let's go over to Galatians chapter 5. Let's see if we can hit this thing again. And you're actually going to go to the left if you're in Ephesians. Galatians is the next book up. Galatians chapter 5. Now, I'd encourage you to read Galatians 5. We're going to get to more of it later, but it explains the struggle or the fight that you feel where you have desires that go on that are not of the Lord and desires that are. And it explains both of them there. And we're going to break that down eventually and make it really simple for you to understand. It's very, very simple to overcome. It's the enemy works so hard to confuse people in it. But it's very simple to overcome. And once you understand where the desires are coming from, you can kill one and yield to another. Okay, does that make sense? You can shut the door on one and yield to another. Open the door on the other. Okay? But we'll get there eventually. Right now we're just identifying what's inside you. So Galatians chapter 5 verse number 22 says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Now, we know from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 23, that you have been born of immortal seed, undying seed. Now, the fruit of that seed is what? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, right there. The fruit of what is in you is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace. Say it with me. I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You have it right now. It's inside of you now. Well, I've got to pray for more patience. No. The fruit of the Spirit lives in you now. You need to exercise what you already have. Now, let's look at this, all right? Because, and again, I have to go back to this again. The word will work for those who believe it. What you believe is not based on a feeling. It's based on a truth. What you believe as far as the action of that, it's not based on whether you feel like doing it or not. It's based on you taking it and doing what you know is truth. How you feel will change. You say, how do you know that? Just drive around in traffic. Just get out of your devotion time in the morning where you're like, oh, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Honk! Get out of the road! You opened a wrong door and closed another one. But you can choose in the midst of trying feelings to yield to the resurrection of Christ in you and respond according to that. Now let me ask you a question. What did you just put into the situation when you respond out of your spirit instead of your flesh? You just put the resurrection of Christ into your life at a greater level. I'm talking about here on earth. Now we need to see this, especially if you're married, man. I'm married. How many know it's better to respond in gentleness? Yeah. Now this is something I'm really working on. Because I know what to do as far as doing it right. How to express it? Well, Jesus take the wheel. And I don't even like that country song. But let me tell you this. Just because I'm not proficient at it yet doesn't mean I'm going to doubt that I can live out of the resurrection of Christ. You know, Mike was talking about mercy and grace. That's what I'm after. Some days it's mercy, some days it's grace. You know what I mean? In other words, some days I go, oh, I shouldn't have said that like that. Forgive me, Lord. And other days it's, Lord, thank you. I'm operating in grace today. I'm doing good. Nobody has, you know, lost their hair because I got so mad I yelled at them and it blew off. You know what I mean? None of that happened. Specifically my kids. You know what I mean? Because your kids can try you, man. How many notice that? Single people are like, no, I don't notice that. Get a different illustration. Your kids can try you. But you know what? You've got the resurrection patience inside of you. You can respond the way Jesus responds. You have the ability. You say, why do you keep going over this? Because we have to get it in our mind, because once we see it, then we can act on it. It just helps people to see it. Yeah, but people have been so mean to me. I know, you can forgive them. Nobody has been harsher toward you than God has experienced. And yet He forgives. Brother Hagin used to say this to us. He used to say, he was a pastor for 12 years. And he'd say he'd get to the point where he was getting so frustrated with the people. And what helped him was, is he would think about the Lord and how He's dealing with all of us. Yeah, all at the same time. How patient is he? How merciful is he? How kind is he? How gentle is he? Do you see what I'm saying? Come on, some of you have been taking years to change in an area. And you're not dead yet. Some people laugh, some people are like, I don't like that either. Listen, I'm telling you a good thing. God is patient. He's gentle. He's kind. He's just slow to anger. And He'll just wait for you, and then He'll just be good to you the whole time while He's waiting for you to have a conversation with Him and get it figured out. He just waits and waits and waits. I remember Brother Hagin telling us a story about a gentleman that he knew that the Lord had dealt with for 35 years about a particular area of his life. 35 years. Imagine if somebody lied to you for 35 years. How patient would you be? But he's just patient, calm. And that seed, that life, lives in you. Yeah, my kid's going nuts. I know. Just relax. Deal with it with the Lord. Deal with it with the Lord. God is talking to that person, even if they're not in church. You know, God's not just in church. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. He is everywhere. You say, oh, God's not over where ISIS is. Believe me, He's right in the middle. You say, He's allowing all that. No, 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 He's not allowing it. He's saving as many as He can. Right now. He is. Why? Because He's just that good. He longs for people to be born again. I mean, a lot of times we don't see it on the news because the news is not going to cover what God's doing because they don't believe in God. Most of the time. You have to dig for the knowledge, you know what I mean? On that side. But I don't know how many times CBN has had testimonies of all these Muslim men and women, some of them in extreme, like ISIS-type settings, they believe it to the extreme, where the Lord's appearing to them in dreams and saving them. What? He's saving them? He saved Paul. What was Paul going to do? Can you imagine the preachers that are going to come out of ISIS? The gospel preachers. I was in a service one time. This was during the ethnic cleansing that was going on. I believe in the African cultures. They were doing this ethnic cleansing. Well, you know what that means, right? That means if you're not one of the soldiers, if you're not of their quote-unquote breed, you're done. They're going to kill you, and it doesn't really matter what the situation is, if you're a child or the elderly. It makes no difference. And there was this head general that was in this group, and these missionaries were over in that area, and the Lord told this missionary to go speak to this head general. Well, he's, Lord, they'll just kill me. And he said, I want you to go speak to this head general. He found where they were. He walked into the camp, I believe it was at night, walked past the two front guards that were standing at the tent, walked right in and sat down and talked to the general about the Lord. And then left. And the general asked the two guards, why'd you guys let that guy in here? And they said, we didn't see anybody. Come on. You don't talk about special forces. God doesn't need a laser. He can just go, can't see, can't see. Okay, go in. So, a time goes on even longer. Short time after that, maybe a couple of months, I think is what it was. And I'm hearing this testimony from a man who heard the testimony personally. The man, a missionary goes, walks right into the tent again. The man ends up getting born again. Leaves the military and now is preaching. All over. Why? God's not... Read read Psalms 37, please. The Bible says he sits in the heavens and laughs at evil. Why? Because the devil's going, oh, I got you, God. And God's going, I've already got 5 moves ahead of you. I know the end from the beginning. You know what I mean? It's just interesting. But anyway, that's who lives inside of you. You have this ability on the inside of you, so you have the fruit of the Spirit. So let's just do one. In fact, should we do love first? Yeah, why not? You're in, right? You guys are in. You're ready. I can feel it. All right. So we'll do love first. Now, the fruit described here in Galatians is not meant to be abstract virtues, but made visible with actions. So keep that in mind. There should be a showing forth of the virtues or the fruit from the seed. Love is defined as a strong, ardent, vehement, tender, compassionate devotion to the well-being of someone. A strong, ardent, vehement, tender, compassionate devotion to the well-being of someone. Do you get that? The picture there? It's this strong desire to see something good happen to somebody else. Does that make sense? It's this desire, it's a vehement desire to do good. Love does not harm anybody. Love desires that the most wicked person in your life will see the light and be saved. Why? Because love understands if that person doesn't repent, judgment is coming. Does that make sense? And that's what God's desire. Love is not void of judgment. You understand what I'm saying? Eventually, we have to give an account if we choose to reject. But what love will do, love will be so vehement, so strong in desire for the well-being of the other person. You'll put up with and 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 put up with things that you normally wouldn't because you desire that that person is saved. That's what Jesus did. While you were yet his enemy, Christ died for you. While you were his enemy. Not while you were doing all the rules right. I was on the street preaching one time, sharing Jesus with people. I walked up to this kid. I said, hey, has anybody ever told you God loves you? He's got a good plan for your life? He starts crying. That's all I said. Never met him before. Either I had really bad breath that day, or the Holy Ghost was convicting him right at that moment. I'm going to go with the Holy Ghost. He said, no, man, no, I can't receive the Lord. I said, why can't you? He said, well, I got all these things wrong in my life. I said, that's perfect. Let's do it. No, I got to fix this and this. I said, no, you can't fix anything. God wants you how you are. And then he can fix what you'll never be able to fix on your own. You can change actions. And that's what they did under the law. The problem was the law never changed heart. And until you change the root, you can't change the fruit. It's impossible. A death seed will always produce a death plant. But an immortal seed will produce an immortal, life-giving, God-nature fruit. And that's what you have inside of you, is that nature, right now. How many feel stronger inside just by hearing that? Yeah. It's there. And that seed is love. Part of the fruit of that seed is love. And technically it is love because God is love. Love. It's this desire to do good to someone else, even when they've done you wrong. Even when they've done you wrong. I had somebody the other day asking me about something. And I said, I just can't do it. And they said, well, I don't understand why. I said, if we go this direction, it could potentially hurt this person. And I said, I cannot do that. I do not want to create any more problems for this person than is necessary, because I know this person and I know how they'll respond, and it won't do them any good. So in order to avoid even giving the appearance of something that is wrong, or even if my motivation is right, they could potentially take it as wrong. And if that's the case, I don't want to hurt them. And you know, that love is from the Lord, and that desire is from the Lord. It's not just because I'm the preacher. Well, the preachers, you know, they get it. No, we got to walk this out just like you. Yeah, the anointing comes on me to preach right now. But you know what? As soon as we're done, and I get in my vehicle, and I go driving down the road, I have the same potential as every other human on the planet to go into road rage. People are like, you need to work on your driving, Sean. I know. It's a good example. People relate. No, I can be patient. I knew I had started to grow in this area when one day I was driving down the road and I was in a hurry and I saw the vehicle in front of me, and my vehicle didn't have any dents on it. It was in good condition. And I saw the vehicle in front of me, and I was like, my brother used to call it leaning on him. My older brother. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, if you're doing 65 and I want to do 75, I drive about 10 feet from your bumper or less. And I lean on you, hoping you'll go faster. It's a lead foot disease. It's got issues. Anyway. I realized I had grown in this area because I was in a hurry to get somewhere, and I looked at the car in front of me, and I mean, it looked like it had been through a demolition derby. And I thought, you know what? I think I'm just going to back off about 50 feet. Because this guy doesn't look like he's going to just get out of my way. He looks like he may batter ram me in his car. And it dawned, and I just inside, I just relaxed. You know what I mean? I settled down. And I backed off, and there were no incidents. There was no road rage. No dents were added to his vehicle or mine, and I got to my destiny on time. Does that make sense? Why? Because we have immortal life inside of us. Amen? Why don't you stand with me, please? Oh, glory to God. How many are happy you came today? Did you get something you can take with you? Make plans this week to practice what you heard. Put it into practice. You'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. And when you make a mistake, if you mess up in an area, just repent and go on. Don't let the enemy beat you up over it. Just let it go. Repent and go. When the Lord forgives you, He doesn't remember it anymore. So you believe that He doesn't remember, and you don't remember it anymore. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for today. God, You're so good to us. You gave us immortal seed. And Lord, we will constantly and continually exercise our faith to release that resurrection power, that undying power on the inside of us, into our lives, into our families' lives, and into those that we work with and we're around every day. Lord, we don't even have to say anything. We can just let the peace of God come through a smile or come through our eyes. Lord, just gentle with Your gentleness, walking in Your love, desiring and allowing this love to flow through us, and wanting the welfare, desiring the welfare of someone else. We purpose to practice it this week, Lord, so that we can grow and be pleasing to You in every way. So, Father, I bless Your people in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank You that Your angels encamp around about them. They keep them and watch over them. That as they go forth today, Lord, Your blessing is on them. Lord, I declare the seed that they've sown, let it be multiplied back to them in the name of Jesus, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Father, we thank You that as we seek Your kingdom first, all things are added unto us. We believe You for it. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great Sunday. And we'll see you Wednesday if you can make it. Have a good week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.